Father, again, we open the Word of God. We open our hearts to you today. We're thankful for that in Jesus' name. Hey, just to let you know, there's a one-line quote today. Just want to throw it out there, and then we're going to go. Here it is. You ready? Beware of self-made man. He tends to worship his creator. That's it. Just beware of it. Self-made people love themselves. We're taking a look here. This is part two of our series, which is entitled Relational. It is a relational revival. We're looking at people that are finding that they're just things around them, especially people, friends, family, things are not what they should be, and especially in a marriage relationship. February is the month of love. We're taking a look at that. Today's message is entitled Relational Revival with Our Words. We're going to look at that element, the importance of that. God's helping us to say, I'm going to start mending relationships in your life. And your responsibility is the choice of words and how you use those words. Now, words are very powerful. We all know that. Man, it's amazing how we can see even these last 2 years, the high intensity of volume on social media. It seems like people are very angry, and those words that are out there are quite destructive. So how do we mend things so that people have relationships once again? And you and I have discovered something. Remember when we did our series, The Bible Never Said. Remember that? Yeah. Bible never said he'll help those who help themselves. Never in the Bible. Well, we're discovering, too, that it was a lie, that old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words actually hurt. Bones mend, but words may last a lifetime and never recover. They're very hurtful. They're extremely damaging. Everybody, I find people will drop away from society, leave a church, quit a job. Not so much that they got bushwhacked, but more they had something said and they didn't like it and hurt feelings and I'm out of here. So words are very destructive and it can go on for a lifetime. So when we take a look here, how are we going to learn to develop a relational revival with people that we know? It's going to happen through our words. How do we love with words? That's going to be important because if people listened to a conversation, would they say, man, you must belong to Jesus? That reminds me about the Lord. So do our words reveal our commitment to Christ? It'd be very important for us to consider. I heard a story about a wife went up to her husband, elderly husband, George, do you think that my eyes are beautiful? And there he is taking a look at the newspaper and just reading it and saying, and she, oh, George, do you believe that it's just so silky soft? You love to run your fingers through it. And he looked at it, uh-huh. Well, George, do you think that I have a nice and shapely form in my body that you would desire? Uh-huh. Oh, George, she says, you things. Sometimes we have that phrase up, do we not? Just like, please say something encouraging to us. But today, how do we experience relational with our words? We really want to have activity, say, healing pretty well, pretty quickly. Let's take a look at that. First, relational love speaks the truth. Can you see that on there? Be able to fill in your notes the best you can. Take it into your life group. Powerful place to enact those things. But let's look here for a moment in this chapter 4. Verse 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'll put that up there for you. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for he or we are parts of one body. So take a look at that. Put away those elements called falsehoods. I like the other one here in Colossians chapter 3, verse literally, specifically, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Now, you can't be more direct than what we just read from the Word. It needs no explanation. It's pretty exact. So, how do we do that? Developing words that really speak love, but in truth. Letter A, take a look at your notes. Practice verbal transparency. That phrase that we saw there says, put off falsehood and don't lie to each other. Both verses in that, put off falsehood, don't lie. Now, some of us, it's interesting when we take a look at things saying, well, we just kind of like bend the truth a little bit. Some people might go to the defense and say, well, I'm not really proclaiming a falsehood. I'm really just, I don't want to hurt anybody. And it's amazing how when a lie or a falsehood is exposed, it really harms a relationship. Oh my. Everybody wants to trust somebody, but it's important. But let's look here. What does God consider a falsehood or a lie? What about, for example, how often do you or I not reveal our true feelings? We don't really share that. Hey, how are you feeling? I'm fine. And yet we're dying on the inside. How often would we probably come across and hide our problems and not really reveal our struggles? See, God's saying, put away falsehoods. Are you really living that way in victory? Maybe not. You and I would want to reveal those true things that are happening. When we're asked how we're doing, you doing well? Yes. When really, not really so. Be careful about that. So let's be honest. Many times we say and project a falsehood. Let's consider that. Because if you are wanting relational revival to take place, if you're wanting that to happen, it's going to be important. It's associated. Falsehood and lying, it says, is associated with our old nature. And hey, Scripture says, we've left that behind. So let's be careful. And this is probably going to be the most important aspect when you're wanting to develop that relationship and bring healing and wholeness once again, is to develop that element of lovingly, truthfully approaching people in your life. Let's take a look at letter B. Practice truthfulness as a relational pressure valve. That's probably the best way I can say that, but it's important to say many times we suppress those things that just bust us. And we never really share that until we can hardly take it and the pressure's up, and before you know it, we vomit out over everyone. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something? I threw hints your way. That's not a truth. That's not even being asked. Your hints, be truthful with everyone. So you can imagine this keeps really that pressure off, even if it just kind of out of the regulation valve. Sit down and be clear about so necessary. But when you share truth, I like what Ephesians 4, verse 15, one particular phrase there, it says, and speak the truth in love. It's one thing to feel truthful things. If it's not packaged in love, does it go away? It doesn't, does it? People hear the tone of voice more, message itself. So we got to be careful, but too much frustration, the hostility developing when it's to share the truth, it comes out in such a way it'll never be. And usually I find people end up blaming the other person. Well, it was you that made me mad. So let's be careful about that. Let's go to number two. Relational love builds up. Let's take a look for a moment. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 29. It says this, don't use offensive language. Let everything you say be good, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So when we take a look, it's going to be important. Let's look at that. Words can be used to destroy or discourage or wound. Maybe you or I could have been recipients of that, or be used to build people up, to encourage them or bring or aspire them to be all that God has called them to be. Scripture says, bring those words that build other significant. So what category would you be recently? Are you speaking things that actually build people up? Possibly speaking things that you just know might harm people. What does that look like? How do we do that? Letter A, let's look for a moment. Have a commitment of affirmation. It's interesting because in Ephesians 4:29, or I should say too, we look there for a moment, thank you. Says, let everything you say be good and helpful. Now, one of the things about words of affirmation, I'll tell you, all of us need to be affirmed. Everybody needs to be addressed and encouraged. For you who are in any form of relationship, even friendships, it all starts by somebody noticing what you do and commenting, I like it when you do that. That's how you fall in love. That's how I fell in love with my wife. man, it's like, I love the way she does things, the way she does it, and the way she handles herself in public. It's like, who is that woman? And then I let her know. And she said, oh, you like that? Oh, maybe she, thinking now, he likes me. Well, I did. But, you know, it's amazing. You fall in love with people that affirm you. And you say, well, what? We don't love each other anymore. When's the last time you affirmed one another? It caused you to fall in love. Keep going at it to stay in love. When's the last time you addressed those things that are so significant? Don't hold back affirmation as some form of leverage. You got to be careful. We never want to manipulate anybody, do we not? The times that I've sat with many young men whose hearts have been broken because their father has never told them that he loves his son or is proud, those men are out there. And it's amazing. I don't know how that is, why somebody might do that, but they use it as a form of manipulation. Maybe they think, well, I've not left home. I'm still providing for the family. They got to translate that maybe I love them. We never say that. Words of affirmation are so significant. So it's very easy, is it not, to point out a person's negative element. It's part of our nature, our fallen nature. Helps me to point out somebody else's fallenness because that means I don't have to improve anything. Look what they're doing. But be careful. Watch out. Some of our biggest fans, especially for my life, have been people that have affirmed me throughout the years. I remember at Life Bible College, just certain professors would speak things that you just realize, really, you think that of me? It's like, no, are you sure? And they would just address things that are so significant. Remember one professor, as I'm about ready to graduate, he says, I feel like the Lord wants to remind me, to remind you, to make sure people know that you're a reverend now, because you don't want to use any form of titles. You just want to be good old boy Paul. And that was true. In other words, I want to be accepted, so I'll just be a standard old Joe. But it was an interesting phrase. And I love being a pastor. I love being a parent. I love being Ainsley's husband. But man, give me two titles I really like, and that is father and that is pastor. I'm telling you, that's pretty interesting. And I thank God he's provided that kind of title. But it's important to have those people around your life that will affirm you. It brings such strength to your life. So important. So what are those areas that you feel you need to address with someone, or who is it that you could possibly go and affirm? It takes no skill whatsoever to criticize each other. Let's be careful. Let's not do that. Faults and flaws are so easy to address, but it's going to be important to make a conscious effort. We're dealing with relational revival. Lord, I want to have those people back into my life. Where do I go? In what direction? Let's do it with our words. Let's look at letter B, another statement with that, with regards to affirmation. Have a commitment to speak according to their needs. Scripture does say that, according to their needs. That's going to require you and me to sit down with them enough to actually address and see specifically what they're actually needing. What is it that they're maybe longing for? What is it that they could be addressing to us? It's important that we get a chance. So the compliments or accolades, see, to affirm without that being addressed, just to affirm, hey, I like you, well, I don't have any reasons. But it's really important to say, what are the needs and why do you affirm that person? To express that is so significant, so important. A reason for affirmation, which would require a little bit of time to sit down and hear their story, to understand and know them. Don't go moving off quickly. Man, you want to develop a relationship. You want to develop and increase your friendship circles. That's one way. It requires us to listen close enough. Take a look at number three. Relational love is gracious and attractive. I like Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Gracious and attractive, because that's what the Bible says, so I'm going to throw it on into that point. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. What does that look like? Well, that element of gracious and attractive, we can just say, man, I like your attitude. You got a good attitude. Letter A says conversation that has a sweet attitude. You know that, oh, man, that is sweet. And so we want to make sure, how does that look when you go at it in the right way? For example, when you go and address something, because we're talking about building that relationship up, and you are ready to say what you want, how you say it, I believe, is even more important than what you say. I'm going to say it, the truth, I'm going to say it in love, but what if you don't actually say it properly? Let me give you an example. If I were to say this same sentence two different ways, just see how it goes. I say, first of all, I am really sorry for hurting your feelings. Again, I'm really sorry for hurting your feelings. Same words. It's going to be a different approach and have different reactions. So you can see here, make sure the conversation has a sweet attitude. Lord, how should I go about doing that? It's important. We could have a wonderful spirit about it. I want to go at it, be nice to that person. Or we could go at it that's coarse and pretty tough. Sometimes I do have people that just say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm a person that just says it as it is. I tell it the way it is. Wow, that's not so good, because that person doesn't care how it comes across. They don't really care about that person. They just want to get the stuff out. Be careful about that. We understand, we all just, man, it's just that seething, boiling point. I just got to let them know. It's just, they're doing it. I can't wait to tell them. And then we tell them, it doesn't go right, and we feel like junk. There's something of God that just is devastated at the way we handle ourselves in front of people. If you wonder why your spouse doesn't really talk to you, maybe you wonder why your kids don't really want to talk to you, maybe people avoid you at church, you may want to consider this approach, that attitude and that spirit with which you go about addressing truth. Sometimes that verbal porcupine is not what everybody wants to go around and be with. Let's be careful about that. Some of you can be just a little bit, be careful about that, argumentative, and just, well, we love that sweet spirit element. So if you say, well, I think I'm good, but man, nobody wants to talk to me lately. Why don't you get a trusted friend and just ask them, man, how do I come across? Would you be honest with me? Is there something that I do that may be kind of abrasive to people? What a great, great way to approach things, so significant. Let's take a look at letter B then. We're looking at a sweet attitude, right? Conversation that is correct for the moment. Let's take a look for the moment. That's important when we take a look at that. You can say the true thing, I can, but it's the wrong moment and certainly the wrong tone. Proverbs chapter 25, I like the approach on Proverbs 25:11, says this, says, timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. I like the New King James will say this, but the New American Standard, we'll put that up there for you. It literally says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. So I have certainly come in there with the right approach, but it's the wrong time, and I assess, I better not say it. I've actually said it's true. They need to hear it. It's not well received. I'm so bummed. Because my lack of wisdom, lack of ability to discern what's going on, we want to be able to have just the right time when you share what you share. That's important. So significant for us. The timing, just the right way. We want to bless a person. We want to encourage them. It's so important. Right things, right timing brings right results. I think in my 35 years of lead pastoring, there's been a number of mistakes I've made, but primarily in ways I say things and hurts people. Man, I grieve over those things. I'm glad God just brings a check when I do. It's important. And you understand when I say this, I actually make a living with my words. So if I say things that hurt people, oh, it bums me out. And I'm glad there are times that the Holy Spirit will wake me up and say, Paul, the way you handled that situation with that person was less than a child of mine should handle it. And I will get up and fashion an email and send it off because I don't want to wait too long. If I've grieved the Holy Spirit, and Lord help me, may I never grieve somebody else, but I do. I say it wrong, the timing's wrong. I sure wish God put me together a little better, but I've learned there are so many things that can really influence and affect both positive and negative. Conversations that are spoken to correct at the right time, right moment, is so wonderful. I have found in my own life that pride will care more about just giving the information, but humility will care more about the person the information's going to. So, Lord, keep me humble. If I might say it wrong, or I say it joltingly, or just at least I'm saying it so I make sure that person is cared for properly. So may you never have any regrets like I have because of things that I've said, or you might say, man, let's be careful about that. So important. Conversations that are gracious and attractive. I'm telling you, it really helps people to build those relationships. A revival starts to happen, and people want to come around you. They can't wait to be near you because they know they're going to need something of strengthening and affirming and help. Let's take a look at number four. Relational love removes everything unwholesome. What do we mean by that? Well, I always like taking those lines from Scripture. Let's deal with that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. It says, and you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, and don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all the wicked deeds. It's important when we take a look at that. Can you imagine? What does that mean? When you look for a moment, Ephesians chapter 4 says so clearly in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So when we take, man, we want to build in a wonderful relational way that area, removing everything that's unwholesome. The Scripture says remove that. How does that work? Letter A, check it out for a moment. How we talk should indicate which kingdom we live for. Now, our theme, the kingdom then you in 2022, it's important. You put forth the kingdom or principles of the kingdom, you watch how things will start to come your way that you thought, wow, my life is blessed because I'm applying or spending that time so necessary. Hear what God has. But letter A, how we talk should indicate which kingdom. I like in Colossians 3:7, again, it says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Interesting. When your life was part of this world, there's an area where our communication, what we say, might indicate what world we're a part of. We know we're called out of this world, but if we could replay everything that we said maybe in the past week, would people have an indication that we could be a Jesus guy or a Jesus woman? Or would it just display that, hey, we're just a good old boy, just one of the clan, speaking and acting very similar. Scripture says, man, you used to do these things before Christ. Put that stuff away. Put that stuff away. What kind of things? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. We'll take a look at it. Remember, it says here in Scripture, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get ready and get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You used to do, man, that was what I hung out with. That seemed to be common involvement with people. And you realize, I don't want to be around that kind of environment. That's not a healthy environment. I can't even really kind of trust my friends anymore. That was one of the indications. Is there anybody with a changed life, any good human being out there? And I came across Christians, and I thought, wow, you guys are like, are you sure you're for real? But God starts to change us on the inside, and it's a wonderful thing. As followers of Christ, these unwholesome things that would want to come back in our life, Scripture is very good. Put that stuff away. It indicates you could be still a part of this old pattern of living, part of the world, and not a part of God's kingdom. So, and I never want anything I say to ruin my testimony for Jesus. You might have a hard time giving the old gospel message, the old spiritual four steps, but if you have a terminology and a phrase that people know you're different, they're going to stand up and notice. So put away the unwholesome communication. We're talking about relational revival, where people start to come around and say, man, there's something different about you. You don't speak the way everybody else in the break room does. You don't speak the way everybody else from our relatives or our home speak. There's something going on. Man, that is a great testimony. So don't let things that you or I might say ruin our testimony. It's so important. Letter B, I think, is probably the most impacting. We'll finish off with this. It says, how we talk impacts my relationship with God. And it's important. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. One line in there literally says, don't let your mouth make you sin. Remember that? It's important that sometimes, like Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, man, you can go ahead and be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place or opportunity for the devil. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. But here, Ecclesiastes, don't let your mouth make you sin. Why is that? Because Ephesians chapter 4 made reference in verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Why? It says that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that all of a sudden I find, even though I want to say certain things and address certain things, there'll be times like today, Lord, were you pleased with what I said? Were you pleased with the way I represented you today? Have you ever asked God that? He'll tell you, yeah, I am. And don't worry about the results. Don't worry about if you said or did what is correct. You did what I asked you to do. There are times when I know that I just had a pressure point and I released it. I had Ainsley even a couple days ago said, I think you're a little bit, are you hungry? I know what that means. I am hungry. And thank you for the tip. I'll simmer down. So it's interesting how things can come along. And if I were to say, I could be with my mouth, say something that is really quite wrong. We'll just say it's sinful, because that's just far less than what God would want us to represent. And I know, even though I may have addressed something that needed to be addressed, man, I don't walk away from those times very well, because I said it wrong. I said it in anger. And I sense the grieving of the Holy Spirit. That's why I don't feel good. Maybe you can relate to that. Yeah, I said it. Do I feel any better? I don't. What did I do incorrectly? Lord, how could I have done it better? I want a relationship that happens around my home. I want a relationship that starts to revive. So we're taking a look at words. Ongoing spiritual growth really is an indication of how we speak. I like it. So let's remember, as we take a look here, just to recall, let's speak the truth. Let's speak it in love. Verbally build each other up. So significant. It's not very hard to do. Takes a lot of energy to maintain anger. And three, be gracious and attractive in your conversation, Scripture says. And people will come. You say things that help them, encourage them. You'll be quite intrigued at how people will look for you on a given day at the campus or there at work, or even at church. And make sure, let's remove everything that's verbally unwholesome and soils you, soils things that are around. One of the things that I found that's so significant is always the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit has helped me so much. James 3, verse 8 says, no man can tame the tongue. That means as much as you want to stop the baloney, you can't. You can't. And the only way is to give your tongue over to the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Get a prayer language going on. Spend time praying in the Spirit. I think that's so important. I know there's a heart's desire for all of us to do well and to hear what's right and well. But man, there is a power of darkness that's out there. Be careful. Be careful. Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. If he can come into the Last Supper and influence Judas Iscariot, he can come into your home. Certainly come into Hope Chapel. And what I intend for you to hear, I said, man, I really want you to get this. It's amazing, since the devil's the prince of the power of the air, my words go into the air, somehow darkness rearranges it, and you get offended. It's amazing how that is. We really need to be on our guard, do we not? Spiritual realm, unseen, but it's very real. And I want, and I know God wants, you to have relational revival everywhere you go. Today's message is about our words. You can do it. God will help you. I'm going to invite you now. Let's take a moment. Have our worship team lead us in worship. I'll be back to pray us off a blessing. Let's stand to our feet as we do. Let's see what God's going to do. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.